back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Paige Thompson has 11 points during a seven-game streak, and Rasmus Dahlin now has his first goal of the season, but the Panthers won six of the last seven visits to Buffalo. The good news is you won't see Florida in Buffalo the remainder of the year. In fact, you won't see the Panthers in North America for the next little bit. They are already in Helsinki. They're going to do some three-day meet and greet there before they end up squaring off with the Stars for a couple of games as part of the global series in Tampere. So that's where they're at.
Tampere, home of Mika Noronen. That's my, like, if I have to put a spot on the map and they would be like, where's Tampere? I know where it is because that's the home of Mika Noronen.
And the Cats go over there at 6-1-1 in their last eight. The Sabres are 4-2-1 in the last seven. Next game is the Islanders. Hockey Fights Cancer Night on Friday. If you have more questions pertaining to the roster and or last night, continue to hit us up on X at Sabres Live. In the meantime, your biggest NHL story outside of Buffalo last night.
Connor McDavid's injury. So looking back, so 5 years ago, Connor McDavid, last game of the season, ran into the net against the Calgary Flames at the end of the 18-19 season. And he ruptured his PCL, had a torn meniscus and everything. And then the big story came out a year and some later was the documentary on how he did rehab instead of the injury, the surgery. And he, it was an intensive rehab, right? And look, this is 5 years ago, but when he went into the boards, he went with his left leg facing forward. He got tripped up and his left foot leg kind of got tangled up on the boards. And now he's not even with the team. It's not like, hey, we'll, you know, kind of do treatments. We have our training staff going to look at you. No, he's gone back to Edmonton to see his doctors over there and the team's doctors and to be able to get better information. Now, the initial word out of Edmonton was it's not going to, you know, worry. It's not worrying anybody right now, but because of the history from 5 years ago and intensive rehab that he did on the left knee and everything, I'm just a little concerned. So that's big. Imagine the Oilers are trying to get back in it.
Mm-hmm.
They can't even, they're not getting wins with McDavid. How are you winning without McDavid is beyond like my, you know, the questions I'm asking right now.
They'd be the last team I worry about not to have a superstar because of how superstar laden they are. So yeah, it's actually not even a concern for me from a wins loss standpoint. It's a concern for McDavid, of course, but yeah. I don't think it affects the Oilers in the short. Like, put me on an island. I'm probably the only person saying this. I don't really care. That's why you paid Leon Draisaitl a gazillion. That's why you're going to pay Evan Bouchard a gazillion. That's why you brought in Skinner. You brought in Arvidsson. You have depth up front. Like, teams
yeah,
do
but you
this.
Know that
I'm scarred by the years of the Sabres when LaFontaine wasn't healthy, but others stepped up, right?
Yeah.
Because there was a guy named Dale Hawerchuk that was able to do this. This happens in sports. We make, my opinion, we make too much of it in an absence because it's a team sport, and collectively there's a reason these are professional athletes and they will get better. And if anything, the embarrassment of losing 6-1 last night, and it's not an embarrassment of losing to Columbus because they've been really high scoring. They're above 500. They're playing well. It's the embarrassment of how they played. Like, they need to be better going forward here, based on other results that also included McDavid in the lineup.
But it's also part of the whole thing is that, you know, they do have Draisaitl and they do have Bouchard and they do have Hyman and they do have those guys, but they're not performing well.
But they
and
will. When you get a wake-up call.
Well, maybe they will. But so the Edmonton Oilers with their, okay, we have our superstar guys, but we added a little bit of depth by having Jeff Skinner and Victor Arvidsson and everything. And, you know, they are the second worst team when you look at the amount of goal scorers they have on their team. They have 10, mm-hmm. right? The worst team, I wrote it down over here. Where did I write it down? The worst team is the New York Islanders, which we see on Friday. They have only 9 goal scorers this year. The Edmonton Oilers have only
10. Yeah, but
10.
They didn't have Matt Martin for most of it. So
well, yeah. The Sabres have 15 goal scorers. Mm-hmm. Sabres have 15 players with a goal.
Dude, they just rattled off 6 straight games of scoring 4 or more. I would
exactly.
expect nothing less.
But I'm just saying, like, that's – and we're worried – and. We've spent a half an hour on the second line's not producing, but they still have 15 guys that have scored a goal. Yes. The Oilers have 10 guys, mm-hmm. and they should have more. Like, they, Iman doesn't have a goal. Arvidsson doesn't have a goal. Like, they should have. So maybe it's a wake-up call. I'm concerned a little bit for the Oilers that Stuart Skinner looks absolutely lost. Every goal, he's like laying left, he's laying right, he's like slow in net, his body language, even early in the game. He gives up the second goal and he stays, his arms go down, shoulders go forward. He's
maybe
like,
he was tired.
Well, maybe. He's tired. Why? Because he didn't play the night before? Like, that's another thing. He shuts out the Pittsburgh Penguins. Not that Pittsburgh has got, they had nothing in that game. They didn't play well against the Oilers. But they went to Calvin Pickard in Detroit because they wanted Skinner against Columbus. I'm like, the guy is struggling. He just had a shutout. Mm-hmm. Play him the next game. It wasn't back-to-back, and mm-hmm. they didn't do it. So anyway, that's that. And you talked about Columbus. Shout out to the great John Davidson, who, as the president of the team in Columbus, stepped in behind the mic yesterday as the color analyst, like he did for years MSG with the Rangers, as the color analyst on TV with Steve Mears on play-by-play, because Joe DiShelley is their usual like color analyst, and he was doing Amazon Prime in Canada. So JD stepped behind the mic, and he was good. Dufford, the voice is there, the wit, the knowledge, it was all there. It was awesome to hear it.
So would you expect him to continue based on the result?
Well, maybe the five or six games that Columbus plays on Mondays where Joe DiShelley is not going to be there in his regular role. Yeah, I would think the fans in Columbus probably enjoyed that a lot. But it's not, it'd be weird to have the president of your, like, which was weird. It worked out for him. But if the results had been 6-1 the other way for the Oilers and you have the president of your team commenting on goals against and players and mistakes, it's a little different. But hey, it worked out and it was great. I think JD can handle it. He can handle anything.
How do you feel about me correcting something you just said?
Oh, just bring it. I'm good for correction.
JD is no longer the president in Columbus.
What is he now?
He's a senior advisor.
Senior advisor, you're right.
Don Waddell has all the titles. President of Hockey Operations, GM, alternate governor.
So. Senior advisor. He was the president and he's senior advisor. Still a weird position to be if you're...
True, but might be a little easier to digest, you know...
You're not
having
making the big
an advisor
decisions.
Than
yes.
having the GM or the president serving as color commentator.
No,
maybe. I don't
but
know.
I liked, listen.
Well, we all love JD.
Like when
of course
we saw from JD
say,
yesterday.
He's never not sounded great. He's been
he
a natural
awesome.
Since day one. Yes.
The little things, like the little moments he picked up in the game and the details, he was great. But also, like when I listened to him, I didn't hear a senior advisor, a former president of Columbus, St. Louis, the Rangers. I heard the announcer. I heard the analyst, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why, like, he had a different hat on yesterday. Not the one of a senior advisor, but the one as an analyst that's calling the game the way that he was seeing it.
Jackets are 3-1-1 in the last five. Chicago somehow beat Colorado, ending their win streak. Vegas rolls on and on and on. It was basically their fourth line that dominated last night, and yeah. they... ended up blanking Calgary 5-0. So the good vibes are gone for the Flames, as they are with a few other teams that had a great start to the season. Vegas is ridiculous. I mean, their home offense right now is just off the charts. And then the emotional game of the night.
Oh, wait, before you say anything,
yes.
Aiden Hill with a Marty Biron shutout last night. 16 saves.
They got to 16?
He got to 16.
They must have had an audit because it was 12 most of the third period. So,
yes.
Yeah.
A
that
good
was...
old 16 save shutouts like I used to love them back in the days.
Yeah. Well, that's the kind of performance that gets you to the top of the Hockey Canada world for the Four Nations Cup. So, no. It's the Stanley Cup that Aiden Hill has. That's what should get him there. Anyway,
yes.
Steven Stamkos, Nashville Predators
yes.
in Tampa. It required extra time, not only during one commercial break, but ultimately at the end before overtime sealed it for the home side. What did you think of Stammer's return?
It was emotional. It was great. I thought Tampa does a great job. And look, it wasn't just a former player returning. It was Steven Stamkos, game president, a fantastic job highlighting, you know, the number 91 throughout the whole thing. The video was great from the youth video that we saw Stamkos playing hockey as a peewee and his time with Tampa Bay and lifting the cup. And So it was fantastic. And they did a great, and had to be emotional for Stammer, who got a couple of assists, right? So good game for him. Nashville is still struggling a little bit, but...
They're 3-0-1 in the last four. I think they're good.
Yeah, it's just, to me, they're not firing all that they should be. Like, maybe it was to be expected. Like, Stamkos has never played with anybody else but Tampa. And the adjustment is real. When you now have to adjust to everybody as opposed to everybody kind of adjusting to what's already there. But he's starting to get there. UC Saros is playing better. They're playing better. But I still think my expectations for Nashville are better than what they're showing. And I want to see them get into that point. But Tampa is on. They're good. I'm telling you, like, they have some skills, and Kucherov is just lighting it up again.
Yeah. I mean, they're 3-3 in the last six, kind of just hit and miss here. But last night, you know, fittingly, Stamkos, all eyes on Stamkos, and he has a couple of points, but Jake Guentzel, his replacement, effectively, had two assists, including the game winner in overtime on the Nick Paul goal. So Vasilevsky has beaten Nashville 9 straight times. Of course, they have limited head-to-head competition, being in opposite conferences, but yeah, I'll take where the Predators are at. They've found a way to dig out of some deep holes in games of late, which is a good marker moving forward for them. San Jose, I don't know. Somehow they couldn't do it. Last year they got into double digits before winning a game. They were very close to doing it again this year, but they decided to win last night, and miraculously so. They got their first win in 10 games, and they did so by scoring 3 times in the final 5 minutes, basically, and then winning in overtime. Unbelievable. Utah, old habits die hard. That was a 4-1 game that they absolutely should have walked away with.
And I get it. Utah's got some defensive injuries, but you're up 4-1 after 2 periods. Lockdown city. You're playing San Jose. They haven't won a game. And, you know, you're up 4-1 with 5 minutes left in the game. And that, to me, was like, what? Seriously. Like, and in overtime, I felt like they weren't really sharp in overtime as well. They took a penalty. They end up giving up a goal and a power play. I didn't think Utah was sharp, and maybe they took San Jose too lightly. But you know,
they've lost 6 of 7. I think it's not just a San Jose problem.
Yeah, but when the Sharks won, it felt like they had just won the Stanley Cup on the bench. Like, it was a full celebration. I'm like, okay, act like you've been there before. But
they hadn't. That group had not.
That's the thing.
They've never been to the winner's circle.
And their coach is first NHL win. So it's like, not like he's been there before either. So you're right. They haven't been there before.
Oh, man. It was, for as shiny as Utah was for the first couple of weeks, it has been a miserable run here for them. And then there's Vancouver, who picked up a point because they had a comeback against Carolina. But as we talked about last week, when I was in absolute awe of the career total game winners by Sebastian Aho. There you go. Now he's tied with Ron Francis for the franchise lead because he did it again last night in overtime. Canes, by the way, have won 4 in a row. And Will Carrier got his first with Carolina.
Yeah, so Marty Natchez has looked good. He's got 4 now this season. The Vancouver Canucks came back in the third period. They played well. But that goal by Aho was pretty impressive to me because it was a hard play to the net, and it was Gustav Bear who walks down the middle, and instead of trying to put a nice little pass to Aho in front, he rifled it really hard, and it went off Aho's skate, off the goalie linking it. Then he's able to corral the rebound. He's got an open net. Like, the composure by Aho to not like be like, what the hell? Like, you threw it at my feet. No, he made something out of it. Mm-hmm. And I like a hard play. I always say, like, if you're going to give me a pass, make it a hard pass. At least if you know, it's going to get to me. And if I don't handle it, it's on me. And I think Gustav Bear was like, hey, there's no such thing as a bad pass. It's a bad, like, player receiving a pass, and I'm always not a bad player. So he put it really hard in his feet, and he still managed to handle it.
All right, quick timeout. That was your unofficial NHL recap from last night. Marty's working on getting it sponsored moving forward. Sabres Live continues after this. Stay with us.